Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Years ago, I went on vacation to Mexico, and I rode the buses a lot, but what I was struck by was how much Mexicans loved and delighted in their children. It's a Catholic country, a lot of big families, but you know, at night, mom and dad, you see them walking through the parks with their children, and it was moving to me. You know, the Bible says this in Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And in America today, a lot of people just have two children. And then sadly, we have lots of abortion in America. But my dad was born in 1920. There were nine kids in dad's family. That was not abnormal years ago. Perhaps you've heard this. A woman had tuberculosis. The father has syphilis. Together they had four children. Their first child was born blind. The second child stillborn. The third child deaf. Their fourth child born with tuberculosis. Now they're pregnant with their fifth child. Would you recommend they abort this child? If so, you just aborted Beethoven. How many Beethovens have we aborted in the United States since 1973? 63 million. And you reap what you sow. The reason Social Security in America is in trouble is we've killed the generation that would have paid into it. And tragically, here in Minnesota, we have tax-funded abortion for poor women. And more tragically, the United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the Episcopal Church all pay for abortions with offering dollars in their church's health care plan. Is that not from hell? Well, let's go all the way back to the year 1669. Susanna Wesley is born in England. She came from a family of 25 children. She was the youngest. She would give birth to 19 children. And oh, the children that she raised. You probably heard of John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. Wesley, in his life, traveled over 250,000 miles, mostly on horseback. He preached 42,000 sermons, and thousands of people were converted to Christ during the Methodist Revival. Another of Susanna's children was Charles Wesley, who wrote over 3,000 hymns, like, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," and "Hark the herald angels sing," and "Jesus Christ is risen today." Well, what produced such high-energy children? Today we're going to I'm going to tell you the story of Susanna Wesley and then draw five lessons from her life for our life. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the moms and dads and the grandmas and grandpas that are watching this program, that you will just speak to us on how you would have us raise these children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Susanna Wesley, she was born in London in 1669. Like I said, she was the youngest of 25 children. At age 20, she married Samuel Wesley, a pastor in the Church of England. She bore him 19 children, though only 9 lived to adulthood. Susanna did homeschooling 6 hours a day, teaching children herself. She was a patient woman. Once her husband, frustrated, said to her, "Why do you sit there teaching that dull child the same lesson over and over for the 20th time?" She answered calmly, "Had I satisfied myself by mentioning the matter only 19 times, I should have lost all my work. You see, it was the 20th time that crowned the whole." Susanna's life had a lot of sorrow. Her first child, Samuel, did not speak until he was 5 years old. She called him the son of my extremest sorrow. She prayed for his healing. One day, when he was six, he disappeared for a few hours. His mother called for him and suddenly, in a clear voice, said, "Mother, here I am." And this silent son went on to become a preacher. Another of her children was smothered to death in its sleep. Between 1697 and 1701, 4 years, Susanna lost five of her babies, and one daughter was deformed for life. The Wesley house caught on fire twice. The second fire, everything was destroyed, top to bottom, clothing, furniture, everything. Only one fragment was found of one page of her Bible, and it said, "Sell all that you have, take up thy cross, and follow me." Everyone escaped the fire except for 6-year-old John. Finding it impossible to reach him, Mr. Wesley knelt on the ground while the flames burned, and he committed his little son, John, to the Lord. Then suddenly the boy appeared at the window, escaped a moment before the roof collapsed, and the family in the neighborhood knelt together praising God. Her husband wrote this of Susanna after the fire: "All this, thank God, does not sink my wife's spirits." In fact, Susanna Wesley saw the hand of God in the fire, and she sensed intuition that there would be great things happening through John, who became John Wesley, founder of Methodism. She spared no effort to train John in the Christian faith. She instructed him in the Apostles' Creed, Ten Commandments, and it was through her thorough training that produced this great evangelist. Eventually, Susanna started a Sunday evening prayer meeting at her house. In a letter to her husband, she writes that she has taken the children to church today, but, quote, "Since the Sabbath is entirely the Lord's Day, I also spend Sunday evening reading and instructing the children. It happened that neighbors and friends stopped in accidentally, and they begged that they also might listen in." This happened regularly. Soon 30 people were coming to her house at night. At the prayer meeting, she would read copies of her husband's sermons. And eventually 200 people were filling the Wesley home on Sunday night. Once her preacher husband was imprisoned for his inability to pay his debts, but she thought her husband would starve, so she sent him her wedding ring so he could buy food, but the husband sent it back. Susanna had a stronger personality than her husband had, but she never failed to see his good points, and she never blamed him for their bad finances. The years passed, and her grown sons now, John and Charles, are about to leave England to go to America to evangelize the Native Americans. John, as he left, expressed concern about leaving his elderly mother, and she said, "Had I 20 sons, I should rejoice that they all were so employed, even if I should never see them again." So when John and Charles come back to England, the great Methodist revival began. It swept England. Susanna is now 70 years old. She was able to stand next to John as he preached to crowds of 20,000 people. She lived to see her years of training pay off. After her husband died, Susanna went to live with her son John, and she advised him on how to carry out the great revival. Then John Wesley writes this in his diary: "On Tuesday, I came to London and found my mother was on the border of eternity. She had no doubt or fear or any desire but to depart and be with Christ. On Friday, about 3 in the afternoon, I went to my mother's bed and found her change was near. I sat down at her bedside. Her look was calm and serene, and her eyes fixed upward as we commended her soul to God. And then, without any struggle or sigh or groan, her soul was set at liberty. We stood around the bed and fulfilled her last request, uttered a little before she lost her speech. Children, as soon as I am released, sing a psalm of praise to God. She died in London, 1742, her son John giving the funeral sermon, and on her grave in England are inscribed these words: In sure and steadfast hope to rise and claim her mansion in the skies. A Christian here, her flesh laid down, the cross exchanging for a crown. That is the life of Susanna Wesley. I want to share now five lessons from her life for our lives. Lesson number one, parents, train your children. It says this in Ephesians 6, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And one scholar wrote this, The great service Susanna Wesley did for the world was accomplished largely through her thorough training of her children. So, main lesson I want us to get from Susanna Wesley, Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, your biggest, most important job on earth is to train your children in the Lord. So how did she train her children? Let me give you the three rules of child rearing according to Susanna Wesley. Number one, no sinful action such as lying, playing at church, or quarreling should ever pass unpunished. Number two, no child should ever be beaten twice for the same fault, and if they amend, they should never be upbraided with it again later. And number three, every act of obedience should always be commended and rewarded. So again, the main thing let's take home from Susanna Wesley is parents, train your children, raise your children in the Lord. Second lesson from Susanna Wesley, have a daily quiet time with God. Psalm 88 says, O Lord, I cry out to you in prayer. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Susanna had a deep prayer life. Susanna set aside, get this, 2 hours each day for her private devotions. And she made that decision when she already had 9 children. So if she could do it, and, you know, I'll tell you, you'll be amazed how much time you have on your hands if you turn off your iPhone, your TV set, and your computer. So have private devotions with the Lord. Do you have a time every day where you're alone with God praying, reading the Bible? And what her devotion time did, it made her a deep Christian. Listen to what she wrote to her oldest son. Samuel, get as deep an impression on your mind as is possible of the constant presence of the great and holy God. He is about our beds, about our path. He spies out all our ways. Whenever you are tempted to the commission of any sin or to the omission of any duty, pause and say to yourself, what am I about to do? God sees me. And her quiet times produced in her a real awareness that someday, judgment day, she's going to be accountable to God for these children. And here's what she wrote when she was 42 years old to her husband. I am a woman. I am also mistress of a large family. And though the superior charge of the souls in our family lies upon you, my husband, yet in your absence, I cannot but look upon every soul you leave under my care as a trust committed to me by God. And if a trust, how shall I answer unto him when he shall command me to render an account of my stewardship? And I read that and I thought, who even thinks like that in our culture? That I'm going to be judged on Judgment Day someday, so may I do a good job raising these children? But that's what her quiet time produced in her. So again, I urge you, if you don't have a quiet time regularly, daily with the Lord, That's a huge thing to learn from Susanna Wesley. Next thing I learned from Susanna Wesley, have family devotions. As soon as her children could speak, Susanna taught them the Lord's Prayer. They said it every morning and every night. Now, I've got to show you, here it is, what I found at a garage sale. Engelmeyer's Bible Storybook. When I was a little boy, my Lutheran mom would sit us Brock kids down, and she would read to us Bible stories from Engelmeyer's Bible. I loved the pictures in this book as a kid. So when I saw it for a buck at a garage sale, I had to buy it back. But do you have you ever had a one-on-one talk with your child about Jesus? I mean, my dad went to church every Sunday. I can't remember one talk Dad and I had about God. Isn't that sad? So I just encourage you, when's the last time you had a one-on-one talk with your child about Jesus? And even if the child is all grown up, see if you can have a one-on-one talk with your child about Jesus. Here's what Susanna Wesley said. I observed the following method. I take such a portion of time as I can spare every night to talk with each child alone. On Monday, I talk with Molly, Tuesday with Hattie, Wednesday with Nancy, Thursday with Jackie, Friday with Patty, Saturday with Charles, and with Emily and Suki together on Sunday. So, have a one-on-one talk with your child about Jesus. Do it regularly. And even if your child is 50, pray about doing that with your child. Have devotions. The next lesson I learned from Susanna Wesley. Be inspired by Christian books. Susanna Wesley loved to read about other Christians. And she had a book on the Danish missionaries. And here's what she wrote her husband. I think I have never been more affected by anything. I could not keep myself from spending a good part of that evening in praising and adoring God for inspiring the Danish missionaries with such ardent zeal for God's glory. For several days, I could think of and speak of little else. At last it came into my mind, though I was not a man or a minister, yet if my heart was sincerely devoted to God, and I was inspired with true zeal for his glory, I might do somewhat more than I do. I thought I might pray more for those missionaries and speak with more warmth of affection. I decided to begin with my own children. Last lesson from Susanna Wesley. Claim Romans 8:28 over every sorrow. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And during one of her worst sorrows, Susanna went into her bedroom and she wrote, "All my sufferings, by the admirable management of omnipotent goodness, God, have concurred to promote my spiritual and eternal good. Glory be to thee, O God." That's Romans 8:28. Maybe you've heard the story. A man is shipwrecked on an island. He runs into the forest and starts getting the palm leaves or whatever. He finally, after quite a while, makes a good hut for himself, goes back into the forest, comes back, and here it is, hit by lightning, burning to the ground, and he sits on the shore and he weeps, and a ship shows up and rescues him. And he said to the captain, "How did you know I was here?" And the captain said, "We saw your smoke signals." That's Romans 8:28, that even our sorrows, God promises to use for our good. All right, let's review this. What does Susanna Wesley teach us? Number one, parents, raise your children. Train your children in the Lord. Number two, everybody, set aside a quiet time where it's just you talking to God, reading the Bible. Number three, have family devotions. Talk to your children about God. Read Bible stories to your children. Number four, be inspired by Christian literature. Get some good Christian books. I love this. Here's a book, From Jerusalem to Erie and Jaya, The History of World Missions, with wonderful stories that'll inspire you. And then lastly, Claim Romans 8:28 over every one of your sorrows. And I close with this. When Billy Graham was an old man, they asked him, looking back, would you do anything differently? And he said two things. I'd pray more, and I would spend more time with my family. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today from a viewer. Our two children were believers. As adults, they are not. If there is no such thing as free will, why doesn't God fill them with the Holy Spirit so they will be believers again? Does God not want them to be back in his fold? Their lives are a mess. One has drug addiction. The other has been divorced twice and drinks and smokes pot and is raising a young child in their home. What can we, as parents, do to help our children become believers again?
Kind of two different questions there. Because I have preached on the TV show that we don't have free will in the sense that I, on my own power, can come to Christ. Because the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive the things said by Paul. So, of course, you pray for your children. I've got prayer lists that I've prayed for, 50 years I've been praying that prayer list. And I still got them, and I'm still praying for them. Many have been saved, many haven't. But you pray, and then you, when the Lord nudges you, you open your mouth and you say something. But if your children have heard the gospel, sometimes you just bite your tongue, because they know it. And just sometimes you hold your peace, because Jesus said you don't cast your pearls before swine. And but you know, if they're your kids, you're going to pray for them till you die. And I like when I'm going to be around people that I know the gospel and they've heard it from Uncle Tom a lot, I'll just pray, Lord, if I'm supposed to say something, open my mouth. If I'm supposed to bite my tongue, help me do that.
Amen.
And get other people praying for them.
Can never have enough prayer.
That's right.
I am new to the Christian faith, and I don't know how I would instruct my child in the faith.
Well, I tell you, go to the Christian bookstore or go online and type in children's Bible story books. And you won't get this, because this is ancient, from when I was little, Engelmeyer's Bible story books from the 1930s or 40s. But great new Bible. And all you do is you say, okay, kids, we're going to read one story every night. And so just find a good children's Bible and read it before you eat or after your meal. And I knew a family that every night after the meal, Dad would sit down and pray with the kids and read a Bible passage.
And just continue to talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice for a good Christian book to give my child?
Yeah. I, as a kid, loved comic books. And there is a comic book Bible out. Just Google that. Comic book Bible, where you see the story of Samson and Goliath and David and Moses and Jesus walking on the water. It's all in comic book form with lots of pictures. That's what I would give to a kid to encourage him to read the Bible.
My grandchildren love the comic book version.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations on inspiring Christian books for adults?
Well, like we read about Susanna Wesley, she loved reading Christian literature. Anything by C.S. Lewis is good and inspiring. I in the sermon, I mentioned a great book on the history of Christian missions, From Jerusalem to Erie and Jaya, from Jerusalem. Great, inspiring. Like Amy Carmichael leaves England in the 1800s, goes to India, I think for 50 years or 40 years, without one furlough, bringing Hindu girls out of temple prostitution to Christ. I mean, that's in here. So just From Jerusalem to Erie and Jaya. I love the Daily Bread, Daily Devotional book. A lot of churches have that. Not the Daily Word. That's a cult. That's the Unity Church. Don't read the Daily Word, but read the Daily Bread. You can Google that and get it. I have a pastor who's a Lutheran friend, and he's a Lutheran pastor. It's called emailmeditations.com, and it's just great stories every day. And so it just you can subscribe for free, and it'll go in your email box every day. Emailmeditations.com. That's another way to get good devotions.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard you say that a woman shouldn't preach over men, but aren't men and women equal before God? Aren't you being a chauvinist? Some say the Apostle Paul was only speaking to the culture back then.
All right, Mona, I can't have a baby. That's not the way God made me. You can't. You can, but I can't. Am I going to be mad at God the rest of my life because I can't have a baby? No, it's just the way God made us. Male and female are equally human before the Lord. We just have different functions and roles mm-hmm. in life. And so I would say that I because of 1 Timothy 2, because of Jesus choosing 12 male apostles, he didn't choose six men, six women. Women can teach women, women can teach children, but the preacher over the church, the elders are supposed to be male. Mm-hmm. And that's the teaching of the New Testament. So I think women can do all kinds of things, but I wouldn't be comfortable with a woman being the preacher over the church. So there you go.
Okay. Do you believe abortion is always wrong? What about rape or incest or to save the mother's life?
All right. Just for the sake of argument, let me give you all three of those. Mm-hmm. To save a mother's life, physical life, for rape and incest. Okay, abortion is going to be legal for those reasons. 98% of abortions are not done for those three mm-hmm. reasons. And no offense, but the people that bring up rape and abortion often are being disingenuous because they don't want abortion just for rape and incest. They want it for any reason whatsoever, mm-hmm. and they use rape and incest as their excuse to get the free-for-all we've got in America today. So personally, I don't think, I think given modern medicine, you don't really have to have an abortion to save the mother's life anymore. Mm-hmm. And rape and incest, horrible as they are, I would still encourage the woman to have the baby, give it up for adoption if you need to, but that's a human life. Mm-hmm. So that's my response.
And many couples waiting to adopt.
Absolutely, yeah.
Here's a short one.
Okay.
I don't pray as often as I should, and I would like to develop a prayer life. Any advice on how to go about it?
Yeah, just start a habit. Every morning or every night, I'm going to spend some time just praying and reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I do it regularly. You do it daily. Mm-hmm. And just if you can force yourself just to start a habit, it gets easy. So there you go.
Okay.
Well, everybody, thanks for watching our program. If you go to pastorstudy.org, all of our TV shows are there. I've got articles I write. If you hit the F button, you'll get all my Facebook articles about present-day heresy in the church and strange things that are happening. But support us if God leads you to do that so we can stay on the air.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.